What number would you like to sing?
14.
Number 14. Favorite hymns. I used to especially like the gospel meeting. I think it was my favorite meeting after I came to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior, because before that, it was kind of a scary time sometimes. How many of you remember something the man that talked last night talked about? Can you remember one thing that he said last night in gospel meeting? Okay. You probably remember a lot of things, and you're either shy or you're just not sure you heard it last night. Anybody remember one thing? Okay, I'm not going to put you on the spot anymore. But one thing he mentioned that I was thinking about last night, he used the word hell. Does anybody remember that now? You remember when he mentioned the word hell last night? I thought, you know, that's kind of a scary thing if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And he said so. That would be a kind of a scary thing if you didn't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But, you know, if you know the Lord Jesus, these should be really happy songs. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? If you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you can really enjoy singing some of these songs, because it's a wonderful thing to think about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ who died for me personally. And it's really fun to sing those hymns. But if you don't, then you probably aren't really thinking about what you're singing, or you can't really enjoy that story because the blood of the Lord Jesus hasn't washed. Well, you're not going to enjoy the blood of the Lord Jesus if you don't know Him as your Savior. So who else has a song that you'd like to sing? Okay, what number would you like to sing? Number 13. Hallelujah. place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a another one of my favorites. Thank you for giving that one out. And I saw you singing it real nicely, so I hope that he was really enjoying it and some more of you were singing nicely too, and I thought that was good. I want to make sure you understand what it means, though, because it's one of my favorites too. And it said, bearing shame and scoffing rude. I thought that was one of the harder lines to understand. But maybe some of you know what that means. What's it mean, bearing shame and scoffing rude? Sang that one. Some of them are easier. What a Savior. That's a beautiful part of it. And we sang that several times. What a Savior. And it's really nice to be able to sing that together this morning. But what about bearing shame and scoffing rude? That doesn't sound quite as nice. Do you know what that means? Could someone tell me what shame means? That's kind of hard to explain. Can you tell me what it feels like to be ashamed? Do you know what that is? You want to tell me, or do you want to tell everybody? Okay, if you want to tell everybody, I'll let you tell everybody like this.
It means to feel bad.
Okay, that's pretty good. We can feel bad sometimes. Maybe when we've done something and we're thinking, oh, everybody's looking at me and they're thinking, oh, what a stupid person for doing that. We might feel ashamed and scoffing rude. How many of you have ever had somebody scoff at you? How many of you have ever had somebody laugh at you? Oh, okay. Laugh at you. How many of you have ever had somebody spit in your face? That's a little harder. Do you think that feels good? How many of you would like it if somebody, I wouldn't want to do this, and I wouldn't want anybody else to do it, but think about it for just a minute. How many of you would like somebody to walk up from the back of the room, come right up to where you are, and spit in your face? How many think that'd be a good way to start the morning? It happened to me once. I was walking home from school, and there were two people that came along, and one of them jumped on my back, and the other one got in front of me, and he spit in my face, and it was on my glasses, and, you know, I was a little bit scared. That doesn't feel very good. Do you think that person was wanting to show me how much they like me? No. And you know what? These people did that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did he do anything to deserve that? The two people, they didn't even know me. I don't think they knew me. They had been doing something they shouldn't have been, and they just saw somebody walking by. They'd been using some drugs. And they saw me walking by, and they didn't even know me, but they spit at me. And that didn't feel very good. But you know, the Lord Jesus, they knew who he was, and they did it to him anyway because they hated him. But that's the person that died for your sins, I hope, and he certainly died for my sins and for the sins of a lot of people in here that have trusted him. Okay? Now, let's sing another one. Maybe there's another one we can enjoy. Okay, what one would you like to sing? 44? Number 44.
Gypsy boy lay dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story repeat o'er and o'er. Till none can say of the children of men. Nobody ever has told me before. Really, so love me, a poor little boy. Send unto me the good tidings of joy. Need I not perish, my hand will he hold. Nobody ever the story has told. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story, repeat o'er and o'er. Till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me. Just as he entered the valley of death, God sent his Son, whosoever said he. Then I am sure that he sent him for me. Tell it again, tell it. Salvation story, repeat o'er and o'er. Till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before.
Let's sing one more for now, and maybe we'll get a chance for some more later. Okay, Stephen, number 46. Before we go any farther, let's ask the Lord Jesus, let's ask our God to help us this morning in the Sunday school. Now, there's a verse I have in mind, and it was on the Sunday school paper, and I'd like to talk about it in a minute or two. But before we do that, does anybody here have a verse that you've learned? No, we don't have time, I don't think, to let everybody have a chance. But are one or two of you have a verse that you've learned that you'd like to say so that everybody can hear that gospel verse? Or maybe that verse about how to live for the Lord Jesus, or whichever verse you've learned for today. Did anybody learn a verse for today? Got one person, two, three or four. Okay. How many, maybe about six of you learned a verse for this morning? And how many of those of you have your hands up would like to say it for everybody? Okay. Well, we'll let a couple of you anyway say it. We'll start with you.
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 1:16.
Good. That's the one I learned too. Now let's see if somebody else has one you want to say. Want to try, Matt?
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 1:16.
Okay, thank you. Do you want to say it, Jessica? No. Okay. Somebody else want to say it? All right, go ahead.
I don't know that one.
Okay, you can say a different one. That's fine. That's good.
Matthew 11, 28 through 30.
I think, come unto me, is that right?
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Thank you very much. And do we have maybe one more? Okay.
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 1:16.
All right, thank you. Now, I just want to start, and I really want to talk this morning. I want to think together with you. So you're going to maybe help me out with the story, because I want to really think about what that gospel of Christ that it talks about in that verse is. How many of you think you can help me with that story? How many have heard it before and can help me with that story this morning? Uh-oh. I know a lot of you weren't listening to that question. Let me try that one again. Okay, listen real carefully, because I think you know the answer to that one. How many of you think you know something about the good news, the gospel of Christ that mentioned in the verse that some people said? How many know a little bit about the good news? Okay, let me ask it one other way. You may not want to help me this morning, so that may be why you're a little bit shy. Okay? So you don't have to help me if you put up your hand right now. I just want to know how many of you know a little bit about the good tidings, the story about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you personally. Okay, that's the question. How many know a little bit about that? Oh, good. All right. Now, some of you are going to help me and some of you would be a little too shy. But first of all, let's think about the first part of that verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, some of you earlier said you knew what shame meant, or maybe what ashamed meant. You might be a little bit afraid of people laughing at you, or might be afraid of something that you've done. Now, I want you to think about this. How many of you have thought a little bit about cars? Now, some of you might not have, but some of you have thought a little bit about cars. A few of you. Okay. I think maybe you could understand this illustration, because about a week ago, I was driving out of the parking lot where I work. And the parking lot where I work, and I have a car, it's about 10 years old. How many of you are younger than 10? You're younger than 10. So this car is older than you are. And it's a real small little car, and it didn't cost very much to start with. And right now it got run into a mailbox and has a big dent on the driver's side. And I was pulling out of that parking lot, or actually I was pulling in, I think. And I looked over and some other person that worked there, they pulled in right next to me. And they were driving, it was a little longer than mine, and it had a nice fresh paint on all both sides. And I looked at the back side and it said Lexus on it. And that's a pretty nice kind of car. I don't have a car like that. It doesn't say that on the back of mine. So I looked over and I got out of the car and I thought, I hope they can't see the driver door of my car, because maybe they were on the other side of their car and they might not see it. And I said good morning to them. Now, I was just a little bit ashamed, and it didn't last for very long, but I was just a little bit ashamed as they pulled in next to me and I pulled in next to them. I thought, I hope they don't look too closely. Now, what I want you to think about in this illustration, this is the important part. Okay, so I want you to link this in carefully to this. Was I ashamed because I'm always an ashamed kind of person? Is that the important part? No, I was a little bit ashamed because they might see what I was driving. Now, think about the verse. For I am not ashamed of, not because I'm not ashamed kind of person, not because I'm brave and courageous all the time, but because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, or the good news, the glad tidings. That's what we're not ashamed of, and that's what we want to talk about this morning. Because you might be a person that's a little bit timid. Some people would just walk right up and say, hi, my name is, and they're real friendly and cheerful. How many of you know somebody like that? Real friendly and cheerful? And some people are shy and they don't want anybody to look at them, but that's not what this is all about. What's important here is, there's something that we don't have to be ashamed of. I think if I'd switched cars with the other person, I would have driven up and I wouldn't have been ashamed. Okay? So let's think about that story. What it is we have that we don't need to be ashamed of. Okay? The gospel of Christ. If nobody minds, I think some of the people at the back won't be able to see anything if I put it on here. So I don't think anybody will mind if we borrow this table and set that easel up on the table so that some of the adults can see too. Now, a few of them aren't going to be able to see too well because they're on the sides. Hopefully that'll stay up. I do too. Now, we're going to get to the glad tidings in a moment, but like a lot of stories, they need a setting. And so here's the setting we need to start off with. And it's an important part of the story, one that you all already know. Where do you think the story about Adam started? Adam and Eve, the first people to ever live on this earth. Where did that story start? Okay, where did that story start? The Garden of Eden, he said. Started in the Garden of Eden. So this is just, everything this morning is just to remind you, because I don't want you to think so much about what's up there. I want you to think about the story, because that's the important part. And we need to get right to the most important part of the story. So there's the Garden of Eden. I just have nice plain green. There are no marks on it. Little sun up in the sky, nice and bright. Any big stains on that piece of poster board? No, it looks pretty nice. Nice and clean. There's the Garden of Eden. There's the sun. What should I put in the garden? There are lots of things, but there's one thing I have ready to put in that garden. Probably the most important part, because I think the garden was created as a setting for this one thing. Okay, and you probably have a pretty good answer. It might not be the one I'm thinking of, so don't feel bad if I don't take the one you give me, because it's probably a pretty good answer. But what do you think? Adam and Eve. That's what I was thinking of. I think God created that garden, and He made a beautiful place, and He gave Adam and Eve eyes so that they could see what was there. He gave them a mouth so that they could taste a lot of that beautiful fruit in that garden. There are lots of trees there, and they could eat the fruit out of a lot of those trees, and He made a beautiful place for them to be. So let's just so remind ourselves, put a little bit of, it's got a little person here. Here's a person, and we'll put that person in the garden real quickly. And while I'm putting it up there, you know the story because a lot of you said you did, and some of you want to help me this morning. So there's a person, there's Adam in the garden. Did that last a long time? Did Adam stay in the garden for 40,000 years? Well, the Bible doesn't say exactly how long he was in the garden, but I sure don't think it was that long because so. But what happened? What happened? What do you think happened? Oh, they ate of the fruit of that tree of good and evil? Well, what's wrong with eating a piece of fruit? I think you already said it, but I don't know that everybody heard, so I want everyone to think about that question because you already gave a good answer. But think about the question. What's wrong with eating a piece of fruit? Is there anything wrong with eating a piece of fruit? How many of you had some fruit this morning? Maybe on your cereal, or I had some strawberries last night and they were really good. How many of you had fruit this week, in the last week? It's pretty good. I like fruit. Now, what's wrong with eating the piece of fruit? He already told us, but maybe somebody else was listening carefully could tell us again. Okay, what was it? God told them not to. And you know that's the important thing. What's that called? All of you know the answer, so I'm going to make sure you're listening. What's it called? The eight of the fruit. God told them not to, and that's called? Okay. That's called what? What's it called?
Disobedience.
Disobedience, good. And I was thinking of a shorter word that means really a lot of the same thing. Disobedience is? Okay, good. That is sin. Disobedience is sin. That's what was wrong with it. Now, How many of you think you're going to get put in jail someday for eating a piece of fruit? Oh. There's no laws in this country, I don't think, that say we can't eat a piece of fruit. But what was important, what was serious, was that what they did was what God told them not to do. Now, another important thing to think about then, we're going to put a little bit of something to remind us of that. I've got a small black piece of construction paper, and I'm going to put that right in the middle of this little person right here. Now, you think we can leave that person with that big black blotch right in the middle? Can we leave them right here in the Garden of Eden? No. You know, this is pretty serious, because this isn't just a few little pieces of construction paper up on an easel. This is a real story from God's Word, the Bible. Let's read those verses real quickly. Let's read what happened because of that one seemingly simple little thing. And that's important to remember, because most of you probably, in fact, I'm sure, that none of you sitting up in front has ever killed another person. But you may have had thoughts like that in your heart sometimes when your brother or sister hasn't been too nice to you. And it comes from that same source, and it's what God calls sin. And this is very important. Let's read it from God's Word. This is a true story, and it happened. For some of us, we'd say this was a long time ago, but for God's way of thinking of time, this is just like it was yesterday almost. It's in Genesis chapter 3, and I want to read you what happened. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. So if you've got your Bible and you're opened up to that, that's good. You can follow along. Otherwise, I want you to listen carefully, because this is coming from God's Word. And it says, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." What was going to happen to Adam because he sinned? Adam sinned, what was going to happen because of that? He was going to die, that's absolutely right. Adam was going to die, and Adam has died. You can't go anywhere on this earth and find Adam. And I think that you probably, even if you could find where Adam had died, you wouldn't find Adam either, because he's turned back to dust. You know, the Lord knows where Adam is, as the remains. But there, we're going to take Adam, or the person, right out of the garden. Well, that's kind of serious, because the ultimate end, they mentioned it last night. Do you think Adam deserves this place for sinning? Okay. Spin that just a little. Think Adam deserves that place? How about everybody else who's sinned? It says right up there in big letters, for the few of you who can't see it, it says hell right there on a black background. That's a pretty serious thing. Because sin is a very serious thing to God. Very serious thing. Did God just leave it that way and say, oh well, that's where Adam's going to end up, because he sinned? Is that the way God left it? No, of course he didn't. God didn't leave it that way. You know what? God made it so that, just take this part. God waited a long time to see if man would do anything good, but they wouldn't. And so God sent. Why do you think this is a different color? That's probably a hard question. This one's white. Okay? And I'm going to put the white one back. Now we're going to think of the green as just here on the earth. Or maybe it'd be better to think of the green or the white right here. Let's just turn this around. Here's an earth, by now all full up with sin. Now there's this white person. Okay. Okay. Who do you think that represents? Just to remind ourselves, because it's very important. A lot of you know. Good. A lot of you know the answer to that one. Can you tell me who that represents? Pardon? Okay, do you mean the black part? Well, the world is kind of like that. There's so much sin, but that's not what I was thinking of. I was thinking of the white person there. Who do you think that is? The other one was orange. What color? What do you think? The Lord Jesus. You know, I was thinking about the Lord Jesus because it's the same shape as the other one. I put this underneath and then I cut this out over top. It's the same shape. You know, the Lord Jesus became a man. He became a man that had two hands, two feet. He had a mouth, he had eyes, just like you do. You think he could understand what it was like to eat a meal? You think the Lord Jesus understands what it's like to get up in the morning and to go to sleep and to cry? Because the Lord Jesus was here on earth and we read about him crying. He understands all those things because the Lord Jesus became a man, but there's no black mark. And you know, the Lord Jesus was perfectly holy. He hated sin. He couldn't sin. The Lord Jesus was perfect. And he came here to this earth, and now we've talked about the glad tidings because this is what we're not ashamed of. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The Lord Jesus was on this earth. You know, there was a person there, and they came to him. Do you remember what a lady brought to the Lord Jesus? I think it's kind of nice. Just one story along the way. A lady brought something to the Lord Jesus. What do you think it was? There's lots of things, but I was thinking of just one of them. What was it?
Perfume to wash Jesus' feet.
That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? A woman bought perfume to put on the Lord Jesus' feet. That's a wonderful thing. And that's one I've really enjoyed a lot. It's not the one I was ready to put something up there for, but it's just as good. Very important. Here's what I had ready. Now, what do you suppose this one represents? Little, small. What's that represent? That's an easy one. All of you know the answer to that one. What's this one represent? What do you think? Just a child. Do you think the Lord Jesus cares about little children? He sure does. Lord Jesus cares about everybody in this room, and some people, as they get older and older, they still like to think of themselves as pretty young, little children. But you know, the Lord Jesus loves from the smallest child in here up to the oldest person here. The Lord Jesus loves everyone, and he said, "Suffer little children to come unto me." He wanted those little children to come to him. Now, you told me you knew the story of the Lord Jesus and what he did. We're getting to a very important part. This is part of the very good news. Here's this black world. There's people in that black world. Do you think they like to see the perfect, holy Lord Jesus Christ? Suppose I were to put something black right in front here. Would it show up? Let me take this little piece out. And let me see if somebody way at the back can tell. Jessica, because I can see him way at the back, I'm going to ask your daddy. Okay? Mr. Panowitz, can you see that right there? Can you make it out? Can't see it. Now, suppose you were covered in sins on this background. Do you think everybody could see you there? Now, Mr. Hopanowitz, can you see that? There's a white, perfect, holy Lord Jesus. Do you think people want the Lord Jesus here on the earth where there's all that sin? How many think they wanted the Lord Jesus here? Okay, well, some people loved the Lord Jesus and they traveled with him. But did most people want the Lord Jesus here on the earth? No. They hated him. And you know what? They had a heart in them that's just like the heart that each one of us is born with. It hates God because God is perfect and we're sinners and we've sinned. And so, you know what they made? What do you suppose I have in this bag? They made something for the Lord Jesus. They gave him something. What did they give him? What did they give him? Okay. What did they give him?
A crown of thorns.
A crown of thorns. Good. Didn't have time to make one of those, but I was thinking of it. A crown of thorns. What else did they give him? There are several things they gave him. Gave him a crown of thorns. How many would like a crown of thorns to wear? No, that's not the kind of gift you or I would like. That's something that we give to somebody we would hate, maybe. Crown of thorns. What else? I only made one thing, but there are several things they gave him.
A cross.
A cross, one of those. But something else maybe that they gave the Lord Jesus? They gave him a robe. Was it a nice one that they wanted everybody to see? Because they wanted everyone to honor the Lord Jesus? No. Sometimes you probably have sung a hymn, a robe of derision, they circled around him. That means they were putting that robe on him because they wanted to make fun of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Lord Jesus Christ. So let's put that cross up there. In fact, I have two other ones because there were two others. Now, I'm not sure that this will stand up, but let's see. Otherwise, could I have someone help me out if it doesn't stay up? Okay. Maybe you can help me, Chris, if this doesn't stay up here. Let's put this up. Okay. I'm going to have to get you a chair to help me out, Chris. Okay. Well, tell you what. Maybe no one would mind if I got somebody a little bit taller, because I don't have a chair that I can pull around for you. Somebody a little bit taller. Thank you. Just reach and just hold that for me. Thank you. Okay. Now let's put these up here quickly, because this is the really important part of the story. And I want to think about that together. Two crosses. They don't really show up because they're black. And you know what? The crosses, people maybe hated those other two people too. Didn't care for them. It says they're both sinners. One of them even admitted it. Two crosses there. And I made another one just so it would show up. It's white, but you know, a cross isn't a beautiful thing. It was an awful thing. They hated the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to put him on that cross because they wanted to see him suffer. They wanted to see him suffer. But I wanted you to be able to see it, so I made it a different color. And I'm going to put it right there in the middle. And they took that perfect Lord Jesus. They took that perfect Lord Jesus that hadn't done anything wrong. No black stains, since that's the color we're using here for sin. They took that perfect Lord Jesus. They put him on that cross. And they laughed at him. They'd already spit on him. They'd already beaten his back. How many of you have ever had your back beaten? Maybe some of you have been spanked, but I suspect that none of you have had a big, long scourge that had three parts to it. I've read about that kind they used then. So it probably had three long parts to it, and it had little parts of a bone and little bits of metal so that it would really hurt. And they used that on the Lord Jesus. And then they put him on that cross. But here's the important part I want you to think about. Thank you very much. While the Lord Jesus was there, how many of you can see that person that we have that we're using to represent the Lord Jesus? How many can you see that now? Why do you think that I pulled that black covering down over where we had those three crosses? Why did we pull that covering down? You all remember the story. That's good. Let's see. Well, that black covering was pulled down. Why was that?
So that I couldn't see him.
So they couldn't see him? Is that right? Do you know who put that black covering down? Who did that? God put that black covering down. You know why? Because while that black covering was down that night for 3 hours, what happened to the Lord Jesus there for those 3 hours? 3 hours for some of you is a long time. Some people that are older don't think 3 hours is very long. But these 3 hours, I think, were the longest 3 hours for the Lord Jesus that you could ever imagine. What happened during those 3 hours? What happened? He was punished for our sins. You know these sins? No one that was there, only God could see, you know. No one in this room, not a single person in this room, can see that little mark that I just put in there. And that's the way it was. Not a single person that was living could see those sins put on the Lord Jesus, because God pulled that curtain of darkness down so they couldn't watch. Do you think that hurt? Do you think that was suffering? I don't think anybody in here, the oldest person in here, somebody that really has thought about it and meditated about a lot, they might understand a little bit more than you or I up front, but they don't understand very much what that means. And when the curtain was lifted, do you think those sins were still there? Think when that curtain was lifted, the sins were still there? No. You know, when that curtain was lifted, they were all gone. The Lord Jesus paid for every one of them. Every one of those sins that God put there, they were all gone. Now, what could people see instead? A soldier came along with a spear, and instead of seeing those sins, what could other people see? What could they see? Instead of seeing those sins, they saw something else that was so much nicer. We sang about it at the beginning, I think. They saw something else. Okay, raise your hand if you think you know the answer, and I won't call on you because some of you are shy. But raise your hand if you think you know the answer. The soldier brought that spear, and instead of seeing those sins, other people could see what? Okay, good. Now, how many of you would like to answer the question? Okay. Let's see. Anybody I haven't called on yet? Gotten some help from? I think I have, but I'll let you. They saw the blood and water come out. You know, the Lord Jesus, He truly became a man. And so out of His side, where that soldier put a spear, do you think the soldier did it because he loved the Lord Jesus? It didn't kill the Lord Jesus. He'd already given His spirit to God. But out of that side, now there's that little red mark there on the side. Out of that side came blood and water. And then they took the Lord Jesus down from the cross. Most people didn't care at that point. They knew the Lord Jesus was dead. And He was dead. The Lord Jesus died. And so they took Him and they put Him in a tomb. You know, this really happened in the Bible. We're running short on time. We don't have the time to look up the verses, but you've heard them before. They put Him in a tomb, and then they put in front of that door of the tomb a stone, and nobody could see the Lord Jesus again. But you know the story. When it came time to roll away that stone, when it came time to move that stone away, is the Lord Jesus still there? No. He's gone. He was gone. He's not in the tomb. He's risen, the angel said. He's not here. Where is the Lord Jesus? Right then He was walking on the earth. But right now, where is the Lord Jesus right now? Right now. Where's the Lord Jesus right now? He's on God's right hand in heaven. That's the other part. God's right hand in heaven right now. Okay. Blood was shed. You know, they'll still see the wounds, so I'm going to leave that there to remind us of the wounds. He's at God's right hand in heaven. Now, there's the end of the verse, and we just have enough time to pause and think about it. Someone quoted that for me at the beginning. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? We had a chance to think about just for a few minutes why we don't need to be ashamed of that story. It's a wonderful, true story about the Lord Jesus. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God That's not how man gets to heaven. It's the power of God. God's way of bringing each person in here to heaven. For it's the power of God unto salvation to... What's the end of it? To. That's God's way. We know we can't get to heaven by our own works. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's to... What's the end of the verse? Go ahead and say it. Everyone that believeth. It's to everyone that believeth. And you know, this morning, God opens up these two choices. God's opened up, really, the choice you have right here. Heaven, and you know, at God's right hand in heaven, there's the Lord Jesus Christ right there. And that's something God has for you. But I want every child here to pause and to think, and for you adults as well. There are two of these still. There's heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ in those wounds, and you'll get to think about the Lord Jesus and enjoy that love forever. But there's another choice. And if you still have your sins, you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's this other piece here, and it has that word hell on it. And that's serious. And the man last night said that was serious. And it is. Because if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He wants this one for you. He wants to have you with Himself. But if you don't accept Him as your Savior, there's only one other choice. There's only one other choice. Let's just talk to Him.